All of you, shut up!
No.
Interface. Not the same questions, not the same answers.
Nation of Christian Perspectives on Thought, Faith, and Culture with Adam Ayers, the pastor of Disciples Church in Costa Mesa, California, and the founder of the Stoa Foundation. Joining us in the studio today are Chris Holowaty, Tom Dunn, and Mark Johnson. Our last program, we were talking about the deity of Christ, and at the conclusion of the conversation, I had asked Adam whether it was necessary to believe in the deity of Christ for salvation, and he asked me what I meant by believe. Well, since the last show, I've thought about that, and I'm not sure.
At the end of last show, you had said to the entire discussion, really, well, then, is it necessary for someone to believe in the deity of Christ in order to be saved? And my response to you was, well, in order to answer that question, we have to define what one means by believing. It would be easy to say, yes, one has to believe in the deity of Christ, that is the Orthodox historical position, in order to be saved. What we're really saying is the definition of Christian someone who says that they believe in Christ? Yes, that's fairly tautological. I mean, it's like a Christian is someone who believes in Christ. Who is Christ? Christ is that person that Christians say is God and man. It's a very circular thing. It is simply a matter of definitions that a Christian is someone who believes in Jesus, in Christ. That's the classic definition of the term. And the church has set that out in the past. The problem is the attendant assumption that when we say believe, there's a single meaning to it. There is one meaning of believe that says, I believe that you will do as you have said. There is another meaning of believe that is, I believe that you exist. There is another one that says, I believe in the nature of your character. Another one says, I believe with my mouth, but I am hoping that I am right with my heart. We're not singular individuals. Human beings exist on a number of different planes. We exist as psychological beings. We exist as affective or emotional beings. We exist as cognitive beings, in other words, our minds. We exist as physical beings. So, for example, I mean, there's a classic, I forget who the author is now, but there's a classic short story about two lifelong friends. And through a series of events during a war situation, the one friend is captured and is forced, being faced with torture and death if he does not reveal his friend's whereabouts. And so the friend, in seeking to save his friend's life, thinks of the most obscure place that he can possibly think, which is a childhood hideout of theirs. He describes this, sends the soldiers there falsely, and they arrive to find the man hiding there, and he's summarily executed and the other guy released. So the question is, did he lie? Is lying a matter of telling accurate information, or is lying the intention to deceive? Was he right or was he wrong? Did he believe that his friend was there, or did he not? And the question is, what is the nature of human cognition, human volition, and what's called ontic or actual reality? It's the same way with belief. There are many situations where I can believe with my head that something is a right decision. Say, to buy a certain brand of vehicle. And I say to myself, well, logically, the factors here seem that the Model X is the best one. And inside I go, but I don't like it. So do I believe that that's the right decision or do I not? We'll say that I believe it's the most economical, but I feel somehow that my family's at jeopardy by putting them in it. Do I believe it or not believe it? We'll say that though I am conflicted that way, my wife says, I really like that one. And so I make a faith step based on her word that really is the best one. So do I believe in the vehicle or do I believe in my wife? Do I believe in my mind or do I believe in my heart? Do I believe with my loyalties? We'll say now that I go ahead and purchase the vehicle and I put my kids in it. So do I believe economically or do I believe when I put my kids in the car? Do I believe when I say to my wife, yes, honey, I believe that that's the right car? Or do I believe when I actually sign the papers? Do I believe it when I sign the papers or do I believe it when I really take delivery on the vehicle? Or did I believe it when I cognitively thought and started the whole process? So is believing when you say, I commit my last breath to Christ when I die? my last heartbeat, is that when you finally know whether you believed or not? Or is believing when you give intellectual assent to something you don't understand? Because obviously most don't study Christian theology before they get saved. So you commit to Christ and then you learn theology to retrospect on it. Do you understand the theology of full deity, full humanity, when you make that commitment to say, I believe in Christ? Well, then you believed in the wrong Christ if you had the wrong mental conceptualization. If you believe that mental conceptualization is what it's all about, or is it volition? As long as I commit myself to this person that I don't understand, then that's okay. So if we're going to say you have to believe in Christ in order to be saved, we have to then say, how correct does your conceptualization, your volition, your emotion, and your existential, if you want to say, impetus, your movement toward Christ, have to be?
As you're bringing up those points, Adam, two scriptures come immediately to my mind that, talking about Jesus, says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And in James, where it says, you believe that there's one God, well, good job. You know, the devils also believe and they tremble. Different types of belief. So what does it mean to believe on his name? And one of the reasons that I brought it up is because in numerous Christian circles and various programs that I hear on the radio, that seems to be the big deal about, you know, whether you're a Christian or not, is whether you believe in the deity of Jesus. You know, it's not just do you believe in Jesus, but do you believe that Jesus is God? It seems that people's Christianity, at least according to some folks, hinges on that point.
As you're talking, Brad, I was thinking of the apostles and when Jesus called them. Is that when their salvation took place? When he said to Matthew, follow me, and he dropped all of his stuff and followed him? Or when he said to the sons of Zebedee, follow me, and they left their father and the nets and followed? Is that when they got saved? Is that when they believed? Did they believe? Is following the same as belief? So many of these terms can come into question. Well, what exactly do you mean by believe? What exactly do you mean by saved? What exactly do you mean by follow? It's like this big mix of what the heck are we talking about here? I mean, in my own life, I know, you know, however long it was, 16 years ago, that one fateful night when I opened the Bible and read and the words of Christ jumped out at me with authority, and I said, this guy is the Messiah. I've got to follow him. I didn't necessarily believe in a heaven or a hell even. I was just like, wow, this Jesus has all the power and authority that I would associate with God if I believed in God. So I guess he must be. Was that belief? Was that a saving belief? So there are so many terms that it's hard to nail down. And I think we want to nail them down so that we can understand it all. But whenever human beings try to do that when it comes to God, we kind of blow it. So I don't know, maybe it's not something that can be nailed down.
Let's see, the sons of Zebedee didn't have our refined theology about Jesus now. Now people can get in a pre-digested form, theologically correct, exactly who Jesus is.
When they're in the boat and he calms the sea, they say, who is this guy? They don't know, even at that point, however long they've been with him, they don't know. I would assume they definitely didn't know when they left their nets and followed him, who and what he was. Yet they did it. So was it something that the Father did by drawing them, and they were already destined for salvation, and so they believed at the first drop of a hat as soon as Jesus said his first word to them?
Along the lines of belief is the test case of Abraham. And what did belief mean to him? And how did God view Abraham's belief? I mean, it's a huge word. And Adam very well pointed out, there's like, I struggle in my belief in God, let alone in Christ. But just coming to terms with the idea of God and who God is, my level of belief or my type of belief varies day to day. I mean, some days it really is a act of the will, a confession of the mouth, and my heart is going, I really hope this is true. Sometimes I'm just overtaken by emotion, and I just want to just bow down to whatever is out there looking at me because I just feel so overwhelmed by the weight of God. So when am I saved? Some days I wake up and I feel like, obviously the way I live and the way I act would deny that I have any belief in God. So did my belief stop then? And when we look at Abraham, I find it curious that God took that entire life and he points to one moment of belief. And I'm not going to try to build a whole theology out of this, but I just find it curious that God looks at one moment of belief with Abraham, and it says that he credited Abraham with righteousness. That one act of Abraham going, I believe, and it had a huge impact on the rest of his life. In the Christian circles, we tend to underestimate this idea of belief. A lot of conservative circles have a hard time of just going, well, if you just say you believe, that's not enough. You know, it has to show up in your life. Yet God seems to put a lot of weight on Abraham's single moment of faith. And I find that curious.
The Bible uses the metaphor of marriage pretty consistently with Christ and the church. And I think as a metaphor, it works very well for me in understanding my relationship with God, my relationship with Christ. I am married. When I'm at work, apart from my wife, I continue to be married. I love my wife very much. There are times when I'm not thinking about that love, not thinking about that emotion, but that doesn't mean that love ceases, that I cease to love my wife. And again, I guess we could get in a whole other discussion regarding what love is if we really wanted to, but I don't think we want to. But I think that's why that's such an apt metaphor. It is similar. Human beings are imperfect, and we do have deficiencies in even our experience, which is what we do. And as part of that experience, we forget how we exist in relation to one another. It's part of being finite entities.
By the same token, Mark, I think it's interesting that Jesus said, unless you become like little children, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. I find it interesting that he would liken people that are going to be in his kingdom with him to little children. Little children back in that day, I don't really know, but they probably weren't considered the receptacle of all wisdom and knowledge and understanding of things, just like they are today. A little child is a little child. They know a little bit about life, but not very much. They don't understand a whole lot, but they follow. They say, yes, Daddy, yes, Mommy. And even deeper than that, they are related by blood and by flesh and by something that words and thoughts and ideas can express. Is that saving belief? I don't know, you know?
Again, though, Tom, I'd like to come back to the point kind of that I started out with, that what I hear a lot is that if I don't believe that Jesus is God, though, that I have the wrong Jesus, and that unless I believe in the Jesus that is God, that I'm damned to hell. I do believe that Jesus is God.
What you're talking about, Brad, there sounds to be sort of a litmus test based on cognition. I think there can be a very easy confusion that we can fall into in that. One is to say, you must believe that Jesus is God in the sense of you must accede to the confession of the church that is worded Jesus is God. And the other part is to say, by saying that you believe that Jesus is God, you must have the correct mental conceptualization. And these are easily confused. One is saying, do I submit to that which I am told is the appropriate definition? That is an issue of will and of association. Am I willing to associate myself with the church? Am I willing to submit to its ordinances and its own authority to self-define? That the Christian church has said, we are Christians, we believe that Jesus is God. Are you willing to say, yes, that is my stance, I'm willing to be a member of this organization? In other words, are you willing to salute the flag, wear the uniform, wear the funny little hat with a tassel on it? If not, you can't be a member of this organization. It's manifest. If you want to join an organization, you submit to its mandates, rules, and institutions. That's what being a Christian is. Would you like to be a Christian? Yes. Join the church. That's fine. The church says, we are the people who believe that Jesus is God and Jesus is man. He's a Savior. He died. He rose. He's going to come back. That is a matter of submission and association. The other thing is to somehow confuse it with the scientific view and the philosophical view that belief equals somehow an appropriate or an accurate cognition of the way the universe exists. This is a completely different question. To say that my belief is true, in other words, to say it is fitting and appropriate and equal to the standard, that's one thing, like truing up a timber to a plumb line. Yes, it is true. The other one to say is that it is actual, in other words, it exists in precisely that manner. That one is a little bit more difficult because the definitions are inaccessible. What do we have as far as defining who Jesus is? Well, we have this guy's name in the Gospels. Do we have even a physical description? Probably not. Do we have very much about his narrative growing up? No. His likes and dislikes? No. Temperamental disposition? No. Any of those things. We don't have that. Tastes in music, whatever. Clothes. Something would help. No. Do we have a good conceptualization of what an ancient Palestinian was like? No. An ancient Jew living in that area? He was a worker somehow. We don't even know whether it's carpenter or not. He's just a worker. No. Do we have a good concept of what Jerusalem was like? No. Crucifixion? Moderately. Now we're having a hard time picturing anything of the humanity of Jesus. It's pretty much a given that our mental imaging of what happens in our head when you say the word Jesus is probably quite a bit far from whoever this Jesus was. More so than people 15 years after the fact who may have seen people who looked like him or relatives or something like that. So their imaging is far closer, our imaging is far away. Every year that goes by, we have a harder time accessing early ancient Palestine. Now we're getting further and further away from our salvation because we can't conceptualize it accurately. Not only can we conceptualize and have an accurate belief of Jesus as a human being, now we'll throw in Jesus as God.
Do we have a good description of God?
Please define universe, give two examples. The one who's beyond definition. That doesn't help us. If God is infinite and we are finite, then the difference between what we can conceptualize in our minds and who God is infinite at any given moment. So now you have an infinite definition on the one hand and a finite one that we can't access on the other. We're not going to put these two together very well. And if it depends on our ability to conceptualize the way these two relate, we're had. All we can do is say, well, the categories, the terms, we can't even define what a human is. What is a human being? Is it the DNA? Is it the body type? Is it a zygote? Is it a fetus? What about a stillborn fetus? Is that stillborn fetus still human? Whether or not that stillborn was induced. So is it the body that's human, or is it, would we say as Christians, the soul that's human? Is it somehow both of them? So if we can't even define what a human is effectively, so how far can your mental capacities be warped until you're no longer human? How far could your physicality be warped until you're no longer human? How far could your spirit be warped until you're no longer human? So we're having difficulties here. How far could your DNA be warped until you're no longer human?
Well, I'd ask Adam, how far can your doctrine be warped until you're no longer Christian?
And what I would say is, if you're asking a question of your conceptualization over against the actual reality of the universe, there's no way to tell because we don't know the actuality of the universe. We can't get to it. We can get to our perceptions, which are probably warped too. But if you're asking, how far away can your words be from what the church has defined itself to be? I would say the words are very easy and the actions are very easy. How do you get to be married? Go through the ceremony, sign these papers, you're in. Yeah, but does he really love me? Oh, now you're going to have a real difficulty with that. Did he commit to you? Yes. Did he say that he loves you? Yes.
But he doesn't show it.
Well, that doesn't mean you're not married. Yes, but I know other marriages, and he shows it. See, this is the same way. That Christian's Christianity is not real Christianity because it doesn't look like my, or their words weren't quite the same as my vows. It looks like they're married. They said those vows to each other. They understand themselves to be married. In the same way, are you within the boundaries? Kind of like, go play on the playground. Well, what game is a valid game inside the playground? Anything inside the fence. You want to play with the sand? Play with the sand. You want to play with the balls? Play with the balls. That's fine. You want to swing on the swings? That's okay. As long as it's within these parameters. In the same way, the church has set out what confessions equal Christian. Now, does that mean that you're not saved? That's within the judgment of Christ. But the church can say what it is, and it is these confessions. So if you want to guarantee that you're saved, in that sense, stay inside the confessions of the church. If you want to say, well, Christ can save me outside, very possibly. I don't know. All I know is I'm going to stay here. This is where it's safe, and this is who I love, And why do I want to press those limits? Except out of willfulness, and then that becomes a different issue.
So it would seem, Adam, from what I think I understood you to say, that an individual can be within an organization that may not be Christian, and yet that person can believe in Jesus in the same way that the apostles believed in Jesus, in the sense of not necessarily understanding who God is, but somehow being moved in the same way that, like that example I gave before, that Matthew was moved when he dropped everything and followed Jesus. Some of these organizations that people would call non-Christian, for example, like Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or even something like Baha'i Faith, which is even further beyond. Someone could be a member of that organization and in a time of prayer or a time of crisis encounter Christ in a way that makes them feel like, I must follow this because he sure does seem like Messiah to me, in the same way that the apostles did, not understanding and maybe not even given the right doctrinal feeding as to who and what he is, but somehow being moved to follow and be saved. The thief on the cross, there's another one. Not one of the apostles, not one of the disciples, not one of the people that followed Jesus. We don't even know if he heard about him before him being nailed up next to him. And somehow he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. How he got that belief, who knows? Maybe it is something that is just divinely handed to somebody by God, completely discreet from understanding or cognition or anything like that. God hands someone saving faith. Boom. Wow, I believe Jesus is the Messiah, and they're saved.
I find a certain comfort in the creeds and in acceding to what the church has taught and believed for the last 2,000 years. The danger is that if I begin to use the creeds as my dividing line to say, I know for sure that you're out and I'm in, or that person is out, that person is in, I feel like I've overstepped my bounds. One of the things that the disciples struggled with in their relationship with Christ was that Christ kept surprising them about who he was going to go save, whether it was a Samaritan woman, whether it was just going to the Gentiles. And then there's also the parable about the wheat and the tares, about how the sower comes and sows a seed, and then an enemy comes in and sows in the tares. In the midst of it, they grow up together, and Christ cautions them about going in there and doing the harvest too soon. He seems to be saying, this is my job to determine who is mine, not yours. So relax already. In dealing with statements of belief about who Christ is, Adam, I think you're right when you say, in seeking to just define who Christ is, either on the human side or on the divine side, we're always going to fall short. I think that would lead us to be cautious about holding a hard line toward each other about what their particular definitions of what the deity of Christ actually means, and using that as a marker for being able to determine, yes, God loves you and will accept you into his kingdom, or no, God won't.
Especially if you take into account the parables of Christ, like the parable of the wheat and the tares, or the parable of the workers in the vineyard, where Jesus basically says, if I'm generous, what is that to you? Jesus' dialogue with Peter at the end of John, where Peter says, you know, what about this guy? And Jesus says, if I want him to live until I return, what is that to you? You follow me. And James makes it very clear in that epistle that the one who is distributing the law, measuring it out to everyone, does not place himself under it, but has become a judge, and is very clear in saying there is one lawgiver, one judge, who is able to heal and save and kill and destroy. He's the one. He's the man, and it's not your job, what you're saying, Chris. And I think typically we approach questions of belief in saying, how can we define who's in and who's out? If you look even strangely, temporally, from just a timeline perspective, isn't it odd that theologically there would be an entire nation of people of right faith, say Jews, and then at Pentecost, blammo, now there's Christians. So are you saved if you're a Jew, or are you saved if you're a Christian? Because maybe, what, did an entire nation lose its salvation right then? You see, a very odd, problematic things, and I think a lot of this comes from our very narrow, limited, linear kind of thinking, saying God can only save people that are of my ilk, and that we want to distribute that out and say that person is or isn't saved based on how they respond to me and my probings and my questions and whether they answer the quiz right that I give them. And then I will make a determination on whether they are saved or not saved, and then I will fix that by getting them saved or not getting them saved. As though somehow we have the right to check IDs and then distribute new IDs, and that God will certainly honor whichever IDs we signed off on because we're the great bureaucratic magistrate. Maybe you're going to lead somebody in a prayer, tell them that they're saved, and Christ is going to go, no way, they didn't mean a word of that. They were trying to hit on you. Oh, but they said all the right words. I look at the hearts. Like John 2, many committed themselves, believed in him, but Jesus did not believe them, for he knew what was in men. And really, the question is, do we believe that Jesus knows what is in men? If so, then we'll say it is not necessary for us to define belief, but rather say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus that Jesus knows what's in people. Since I believe that in Jesus that Jesus knows what's in people, I believe that Jesus will do what's right about saving, and I don't have to try to determine what believing is. All I know is I believe in Jesus, and I believe that he will do right.
Well, we are out of time. Thanks to Adam Ayers, Chris Holowaty, Tom Dunn, and Mark Johnson for discussing belief with us today. Thanks to Course Meyer Sound for helping to make Interface possible, and thanks to you for listening.